not getting out. Amen. Amen. Where's Miss Lizzie at? Where's she at?
Oh, yeah.
Where's she at?
Here she goes. Here we go.
Her, I told her her life verse was, and the wicked shall be cut off. And if she starts cackling, y'all take them eggs and sell it and put it toward the building fund. Amen. Yeah. So, anyways, but hey, I'm excited about being here. How many are members here? Raise your hand. That is incredible. Put your hand. Do you know this Thursday night? You know that, don't you? And football is fixing to start here in a little bit, so we got to get out of here. I'm just kidding, all right? When's football season start?
Sunday.
Start Sunday. See, that man knows right there. That's why you came to church on Thursday. So you're not going to be here Sunday, are you? So, Sunday night. Who's playing?
Indianapolis. I don't know who they're playing.
You don't? Do you care?
No.
No? How many Buckeye fans in here? I hate to ask. You know, we might as well give an invitation right now. And if you're a Buckeye fan, God help you. Amen. And you know they're a worthless nut. That's all they are. Just. You know, who won last year? Well, we're not talking about that. All right, take your Bibles if you don't mind. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17. Can y'all hear me okay? Because if you can't hear me, you just raise your hand. I'll go back and slap the PA guy. Amen. Wow, they don't like you. Amen. I'd keep running if I were you. Hey, I want to be the guy that operates the lift out there. This is the only church I go to that has the neatest lift. You just turn that key, turn that key. You know, get somebody you don't like and take them halfway up, turn it off, take the key and go home. And let them stay here the rest of the night. But, hey, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. Of course, I'm going to sleep all day so I can be up. You know, think about this. When you hit a certain age, you know, your body just sort of wilts when you get to that double digit at night. I mean, 10 o'clock and it's like, so for all the old people, tomorrow night, that's anybody over the age of 40, we will have shuffleboard in the Becca building, you know, and we'll have those couches for you, recliners. And how many are 40 or above? And you would admit it right there. Look at that. See, why don't they ever have a night of nights for old people? You know, we'd have to start our night of nights at 10 in the morning, be done by 4 in the afternoon. That would be our night of nights. Amen. So how many of you adults are going and staying up all night? Fools. You're fools. Amen. You're fools. So, but anyways, how many of you teenagers are going? Oh, how many are going go-karting? Are we going go-karting, Brother Dave? Oh, how many are going to take me on a go-karting just to see yourself lose going across the finish line, right? Right. Come on. Amelia? How's it going, Amelia? I was told to give you a hard time. Amelia Rose. Is that right? Is that right? And she is blonde. And that's all there is to it. So, hey, I'm excited about being here. Your church is a blessing to me personally. And I think this is my third year to be here. And my very first year, I just fell in love with Ravenna, Ohio. Y'all are so famous that nobody knows where Ravenna, Ohio is. Unless you are from Ohio. I was in the airport this morning flying out of Longview, Texas, and this guy was a Christian, and we got talking about the Lord, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I am going to Ravenna, Ohio." He goes, "Oh, yeah, that's right outside of Cleveland, and you just take that." I said, "You know where Ravenna's at?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." And I was like, "Wow, let me shake your hand." And so anyways, he has some type of cousin that lives here, and at least it's not West Virginia where that family tree goes straight up. Anyway, so, but I better be nice, but... How many people here from West Virginia? Are you serious? I didn't mean that. I meant Virginia. That's what I meant right there. Wow. We're going to get ourselves in trouble. That's all there is to it. Are you serious? See you on the what? You know what? I heard what you said over there. We're not letting you talk at all right? So, wow. We ain't never going to get to preaching if we don't stop howdying, but anyways. You know, people are funny in and of their nature. You know, this American Idol has just simply taken over our society. And I was in California preaching last week, and my preacher friend I was preaching with, he's got this thing to where he carries around a video camera with him everywhere he goes. He's making a video scrapbook of his life. You know, and he's been doing this for 20 years. I mean, camcorder started out like this, and now they're down these little bitty things. Well, we were coming out of the restroom. No, he was not camcording in there. I better be careful. Anyway, That is funny. And so anyway, so we're coming out after a meeting, and he has his camcorder, and there's this girl. She is like singing. She is like, she's trying to do this thing. And I stepped, I said, get it going. Get your camera up. And so he put his camera up, and I walked. I said, ma'am, I'm from American Idol. Right now, sing. She was like, oh, it's my turn. And she got up on a chair and just started singing. In the middle of a restaurant, and I'm like, what have we done? You know, and I was just kidding. But think about it. You're in Los Angeles at a restaurant at 11:30 at night, and here comes a guy in a suit, another guy with a camcorder. What would you think if somebody said, American Idol, sing? You know, and people who think they can sing, they can't sing. You know, just like those girls right back over. Never mind, and I'll be nice. But I appreciate this church. I appreciate your soul winning. I appreciate your stand on the Bible. I appreciate y'all being here. It's Thursday night. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at any time somebody shows up on an off night to hear the preaching of the Word of God. But that's a great tribute to your church. And I got to tell you the soul winning story. 2 weeks ago, Kelly and I, that's my wife, my first wife, Kelly and I, we were in the in Walmart. And we're buying some things, and this guy had a list, and he had some clothes on his arm, and he was like, oh, blank. And he said, H-E-L-L. And I stood up and looked at him, and I said, you know, I'm offended. He looks at me and says, sir? And I said, I'm offended. I'm a preacher. How come you never hear anybody go, oh, heaven? Why do you always, you know, talk about the other place? He goes, oh, well, I'm sorry. And I said, but since you brought up eternity, and you brought it up, I did not. My wife's standing there going, no, you're not about to do this. And I said, but since you brought it up, let me tell you about how not to go where you just said that, you know, how not to go there, you can go to heaven. I said, you're trapped, man. You brought it up. I did not bring it up. I'm going to follow you all over Walmart till you listen to me. And he said, okay. Here you go. So right there in Walmart, he got saved, man. He bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. And when he walked away, I said, I bet you'll never use that word again, will you? He goes, not in public, I won't. But anyway, so I am concerned about one thing about this church. I did not know that you allowed somebody with AIDS to work on your staff. Brother Dave, last time I saw him, he's much thinner right now, and we found out the reason. Bless his heart, he has AIDS. So y'all pray for him, and you'll be okay. I'm just kidding. Some of the new members are going, really? Anyways, Luke chapter 17. Now look, I'm going to be shorter than your primetime TV program. Okay, I promise you. Now, I'm really going to preach the devil out of the teenagers tomorrow night. I'm going to be kind to y'all because y'all are nice. I mean, y'all are smiling at me. You're pleasant. You're not sleeping yet. And I really like you. And I got my card from Grandma, so I am set. I don't care what anybody else says. Grandma loves me. So as long as Grandma loves me, we're okay. Amen. But I really, really, really want to help you as an individual Christian tonight. I am really interested, and tomorrow night I am really going to preach up a storm at y'all, you people down here. But for everybody else, including you, get in on this too. I want to be a blessing to you, and I want to be a help to you. If there is one thing in the Christian life that I think will draw your church closer and not blow your church apart. And every church struggles with this thing of, well, where's my role? Well, how do I fit here? I want to take a principle from the Bible, and I want to preach to you. That sounds good. I'm going to preach the devil out of you is what I'm going to do, and I'm not even going to hold back. But it sounds good getting going, all right? I love you, peace, love, tranquility, and all that kind of stuff, all right? Throwback to the 80s. All you 80s people, you love that. But Luke chapter 17, if you will, Luke chapter 17. And let's all stand, Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to read verse number 1. Someone said, are you always that crazy? You better believe it, man. Life's too short to be any other way. So Luke chapter 17 and verse number 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. Now the Bible is very, very clear here that offenses will come. So I'm going to talk to you on this subject tonight, how to avoid being a stumbling block. How, I hear a cell phone. That is a pizza for me. That is one pizza for me. Amen. All right. Man, just let them things go off. I'll take all the pizzas I can get. Amen. Room 205. But anyway, so I shouldn't have said that. Man, I have a... That was the wrong thing to say right there. You know. Man, I was preaching at a youth conference last year, someplace, wherever. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, I accidentally gave the room number out. It was 4 teenage guys with a Monopoly board, 4 pizzas, saying, "Let's play!" And I was like, "No, let's not play." And so anyway, so we played till about 6 in the morning. I was the banker. I won. Because it was 500 for you, 1,000 for me, 500. So anyway, so Luke, the banker always wins. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done. Lord, I don't want to get in the way of what you want to do in our lives tonight. Lord, I honestly feel like I'm among friends. That's because I am. Lord, some churches you go preach at, and Lord, you know, they're about as warm, as friendly as an iceberg. And Lord, just other churches you go in, you feel like that you belong. You feel like you've known the dear people all your life, and you create friendships, you make friends. And Lord, all I want to be is a blessing tonight. But Lord, help me not to do anything or say anything that you would not want me to say. Lord, help me to preach the truth. Help me to put the truth out there. May every single person in this room in the next 30 minutes grow in the Lord. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated. I'm really going to need your attention. I am really going to push your Christian life, if you don't mind. I am going to tell you that by the time you leave here tonight, you are either going to decide to do what the Bible tells us to do, or you're not. If you decide to do what the Bible tells us to do, expect some phenomenal growth in your life. If you decide not to do and you decide to reject what the Bible tells us to do, then expect failure in your Christian life. You say, "Well, that's pretty bold, Brother Bob. That's pretty out there. That's pretty heavy. Are you telling me if I reject what you have to say and what God's Word has to say, I can expect failure?" You better believe it. But if you will do what God's Word, how many believe the Bible? Can I see a hand out there? How many love the Bible? There you go. I don't think anybody's hands down except the PA guy. But we all love the Bible. I can't even see you, man. All right. Oh, that's wrong right there. Oh. That was. Turn me up, man. Turn me up. Are you married? You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to get married, and you're not going to have any children. You're not going to have any grandchildren. I bet you're a Buckeye fan, aren't you? That's what I thought. Amen. So he's a Christian, though. At least he's going to heaven. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 9. If you could, Genesis chapter 4, if we all could take and turn over there, Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 9. The Bible asks a question here, or a question is asked in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 9. It's the very first question that is asked from man to God. And it's very appropriate to set the tone for the entire scriptures. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 9, it says this, "And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not." Then he asked this question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That is a great question. Am I my brother's keeper? Genesis chapter 4 in verse number 9. Now the Bible is very clear in Luke chapter 17, and I need some help tonight. You want to help me, son? You want to help me? Yeah, come on up. You look like you're too eager to help me, which makes this just wonderful, all right? Stand right up there. Now, if you look in your Bible, Luke chapter 17, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come." So the Bible tells us that offenses, same word used for stumbling block in the New Testament, how old are you?
8
years old. This young man has a lot of living to do. Every adult will understand what I'm about to say. You would not want to be in his position growing up in this day and age. Between the internet, satellite, cable, billboards, magazines, the audacity of this world to push their agenda on our children is just an amazing thing.
And that's why you need youth conferences like you're fixing to have tomorrow night to really challenge these young people to stay morally pure. But the Bible tells us it's impossible. Offenses will come. All I want you to do is I want you to fall down. Fall down. Perfect. Stand back up. Fall down. Stand back up. Keep doing that as I'm talking. Just all the way down, all the way back up. Just keep going. Just keep going. The Bible's very clear that if you left him alone, that is exactly what would happen. You don't stand up. Stand up. You're, stand right there. You're too good at that, all right? If you left him alone and you never did anything with that young man, whoever's mama is, just gave birth to him, and we put him into the society, listen to what I'm about to tell you, he is going to stumble all by himself. There is a sin nature on the inside of this kid that you don't have to teach him how to do what is wrong. It is built into them to do what is wrong. So if you never ever, if you never had one influence in his life, guess what would still happen to him? I want you to fall down and stay there. Will you do that for me? Fall down. Fall down. There you go. Now stay. He would stumble. That's what the Bible means. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. You mark it down. You adults in this room, you teenagers in this room, you kids in this room, this is life at its finest. And if you ever meet a preacher that says he's conquered sin, run from him.
Amen.
Because no man, no matter if he's a preacher or a layman, has conquered sin. The only thing the Bible tells us we can do with sin is not to let it reign in our mortal body. You will never be sinlessly perfect. That's a damnable heresy. But you can get to the point to where sin doesn't reign in your mortal body. It can, doesn't have to be the head. It can be the tail. It doesn't have to lead you. You can lead it. And that's every day. But this is going to happen. This is going to happen. I stand back up. So the Bible tells us then that stumbling blocks are going to happen to people. That's why when the verse says, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer tonight is this, yes. Everybody here is responsible for the people around you. Everyone here is responsible for everybody you meet. I'm a preacher. I meet a whole lot of people. But everybody I meet, I am responsible for that person. Now, people don't like that because people like selfishness and people like to live on their own island and people like to feel like, well, I'm not accountable to anybody. That is not true. But the Bible says that this is going to happen. In the Old Testament is always a physical picture of a spiritual truth in the New Testament. Never forget that. In the Old Testament, God tells us in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf. Want to know why? Because they can't hear you. That was deep. All right, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. I have a handicapped son. I don't think anybody here would be cruel enough that as he was stumbling his way through life, that you on purpose would put a stumbling block or something before him. If we saw a blind man going down the street, nobody here would be cruel enough to put a park bench in front of him and watch him stumble. Because you just don't do that. That's what God was saying. In the New Testament, he comes along and says this, don't be a stumbling block. Let's read a little bit further in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 1. Then seeing his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But what's the next phrase? But what? Woe unto him through what? Whom they come. I want everybody to look up here, and here's the sermon. It's one thing for him to fall, and I want you to fall. Stand back up. But it's a whole another deal when we cause him to fall. Now hold it. You're not going to stop people. Get back up. You're not going to stop people from falling. But let me tell you something. If you're living your life in such a way to where your fingerprints are on people falling, then the Bible says, whoa.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you this as lovingly as I know how, and I'm just a preacher passing through your world. But it's about time everyone in this room, including myself, upped our Christian living.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop these teenagers from falling. You're not going to stop people around you from falling. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have a mandate from God that there is a curse, and that's what the woe means there. There is a curse on your life, and there's a curse on my life if we ever are the catalyst to make people fall. Now, there are two people in the Bible that you have a personal responsibility to make sure that nothing happens to. Now, when I say personal, that's exactly what I mean. Bob Gray II has a personal responsibility to make sure two people in my life, two groups of people, are totally taken care of by how I live. My Christian life is just not something I live in private. My Christian life is something I live in public. And my life ought to be a lighthouse and ought to be a beacon to everybody I meet. Stand back up if you don't mind. So guess what? There are two groups. First are the young ones. I want you to look further on in Luke chapter 17, if you will. Luke chapter 17, and look at verse number 1. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that all offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Look at it says, verse 2. It were what? Better for him that what? A millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should, here it is, offend who? One of these little ones. I'm going to pull over here and park for just a second. Whenever you hear a preacher say that, he's fixing to knock on somebody's door. Okay? Let me tell you something. These kids have a tough enough time growing up in an immoral society. But God help any adult that introduces the young people to immoral stuff. Because God says, if you ever are the reason that somebody goes into pornography. Stand back up. If you ever are the reason that somebody learns how to smoke, if you ever are the reason that somebody learns how to steal, if you ever are the reason that somebody learns how to cuss, if you ever are the reason that somebody learns how to criticize, if you ever are the reason, God said, it would be better for you that a millstone was hung around your neck and you'd be cast in the deep of the sea than for you, sir, to offend one of those little ones. And I'll tell you why we have second and third generation Christians growing up that care less about God and they're total heathens sometimes. I'll tell you why. Because I believe it's laid right at the feet of the adults in their life that do not take into consideration that you are not your own, you are bought with a price, and you are your brother's keeper. Simply put, so what is our responsibility to everybody younger than I? It is my responsibility for there to be nothing in my life, look at me, for there to be nothing in my life that would teach you about this world. That is my responsibility. Amen. I'm going to ask you tonight to up your Christian life. Amen. I'm going to ask you tonight to go take inventory of what is on your radio right now. I'm going to ask you to take inventory of what is in your DVD collection right now. I'm going to ask you to go take inventory of the words you use this week. Because if we have used any words, if we have watched anything, if we have listened to any music that has introduced him to this type of lifestyle and introduced him to this type of speech or introduced him to this type of music, God said that it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. We need a better second generation, not a worse second generation. And every one of us, as the older we get, the more we think, well, this is my life. I can live it like I want to live it. I can do whatever I want to do. And it's nobody else's business. That's a lie. Because you are being watched and you are in a glass house. And the older you get, the more these little ones are watching. And they want to be just like daddy. And they want to be just like mama. And they want to be just like the older teenagers. And they want to be just... God said you do have a responsibility to the little ones. I go so far as to say this. We just went through 5 years of lawsuits back where we're at because a man decided to put his hands inappropriately on some minors. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe in capital punishment except for two kinds. If you murder somebody predetermined to hurt somebody, you ought to go to the electric chair. And if you're a child molester, you ought to go to the electric chair. And if you don't like that too bad, just come on down to Texas. We'll string you up from the highest tree we can find. And don't come to me tonight and tell me why I molested children. I just got a problem with that because my first phone call will be 911. Amen. I believe that. I practice that. And if you young people are here tonight and you've ever been molested, you go to the nearest adult you can trust and you tell them. You don't have to live with that hell the rest of your life. But I believe every adult in this room, every Christian in this room, we have a responsibility to make sure these young ones are taken care of. No more, Dad, can you have that private stash of whatever. No more can you have that alone time with the satellite when everybody else goes to bed. He said, Brother Bob, I liked you till you started that stuff. You know, I liked me till I started that stuff too. Because I really am a kind guy. But I know the hell that comes from adults who live a double life. And I got a feeling if I'm bothering you tonight, it's not the loudness of the PA that's bothering you or the color of my suit. I believe it's what I'm saying if it's bothering you. And I think it's very important. You can't have your own music. You can't have your own TV time. You can't have your own whatever. Let me tell you something. These kids are not dumb. If they can make it on three or four levels of a PlayStation game, and they can get into your computer after you've done set up 50,000 passwords, and they figure it all out, they're smart. They know what's going on in our life. You say, Brother Bob, I'm not perfect. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm asking you to take inventory of your life. What is it right now that's running through your head? Listen to this concept. I'm going to die. That's deep. But if I die right now, somebody's got to go clean out my hotel room. Somebody will reach in this pocket and take this key and go back to my hotel room. And they will go through my computer. They will go through my iPod. They'll go through my briefcase. They'll go through everything. God help Bob Gray if anybody finds anything.
Yes, sir.
But you know how many children stumble upon adults who are giving into this world? And they may never say anything to you, but the anger builds from here. And it builds and it builds and it builds. Because how dare you tell me to do this? Then all of a sudden you're doing this?
Right.
I've got a seventh grader. He'll be eighth grade coming up in 30 days. I've got a beautiful daughter, 19. I got a beautiful wife. I honestly would hate to think that if something happened to me, that these people would have to go clean my office out and would find something that they would step back and go, Dad? Well, that he was a hypocrite.
Yeah.
I'm not a perfect man, but I'm going to tell you right now. I don't want anything in my life that any of these teenagers could take that key and go back to my room.
Amen.
And they would walk in and find something that they would go, what is that? I'll tell you a sad story to illustrate this point. We bought a house back in 92. The lady who sold it to us was a preacher's wife. She kind of, that's her house. Her kids grew up there. Now she was in her 80s, like 10 years ago when this particular thing happened. And she was like in her 80s where the air conditioning unit and things, it went down. So we had to replace the whole thing. Well, she was there when the house was built and she was there when everything was going on. So when she'd always come by just to come in and sit, and it's our house, but she would just come in to sit and say, this is where we grew up, and I said, yeah, Grandma, come on in. Grandma Ferguson, come on in and have a seat, and yeah, you want some coffee? I mean, it was not uncommon just to show up, and like, I told the kids, if this lady shows up, bless her heart, let her come in and sit in her house, and let her think it's her house, and just take care of her, right? She's in her 80s, and I mean, how would you like it at 10 o'clock at night, this little lady shows up, and can I just come in and walk through my hallway? Yeah, come on in. Well, she drove by, and she saw the air conditioning people there, and she was there when the air conditioner was put in, the unit, the furnace unit. She said, can I just walk and take it out? And I was like, have a seat. If that makes your day, I guess that's what old people do. They go watch furnaces being taken out. Like, oh, this is wonderful. This is great. And that and going down to the barbershop, watch people get haircuts. But she was there. When they pulled that furnace out, they found bad magazines behind the furnace with her husband's name on it. And she sat there and she just bawled. And she stood up very quietly, put that shawl around her,
And she simply said, "I'll never be back." And turned and walked out. Now you look at me and listen to me. No man dies to themselves and no man lives to themselves. And I'm going to ask you, for the sake of those younger than you, they don't need to be educated.
That's right.
Let's face it. Us adults could put up with commercials and put up with movies and put up with things and, whatever. But to these kids, they know nothing. Do you see that? Watch this. Hey, y'all. Hey, Grandma. How you doing? There's nothing there. You look through this side, it comes right back out this side. All right? But they are recording everything they see, and it is going down into their soul, and it's creating pictures on their heart. You know why God destroyed the earth the first time? And I'm about done. You know why God destroyed the earth the first time? Because the Bible says their imaginations were evil from their what? Youth. Teenagers and young people have a unique ability to remember and record and hear what the adults are out here. I'm going to ask you right now, older people, middle-aged people, young adults, what do you have that somebody could go into your world, pick up, and learn more about the world? So the first group is what? The younger ones. Levi, you're 17. Going to be 18 sometime, all right, if you live that long. Guess what? You have a responsibility to guys like this. Amen. Not to have anything in your life, man, that this guy could look at and he would stumble. The second group that we have a responsibility, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm headed somewhere, so if you'll just bear with me. It is 8:05 and 30 seconds right now. I promise you I'll have you out of here, all right? I don't know when, but I'll have you out of here. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. Do you have it? 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a what? Stumbling block to them that are weak. Now listen to me very closely. Weak here does not mean small, insignificant. Weak means this, and I need to use somebody. Thank you very much. No, right there on the end. Come here, brother. Yes, you. You. Yeah, not you, brother Seth. Come here. Hurry. Stand right up there. The weak is somebody that is just a new convert or trying to come back to the Lord. Face me. So we have a responsibility not to introduce them to anything in the world. They ought to grow up with a head start on life. They ought to grow up being naive. When I got married, look at me and listen to me, I knew nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
Good.
I was walking across the parking lot with 6 weeks to go to get married. My dad stopped me, turned around and said, "Son, any questions?" I looked at him and said, "About what?" He goes, "Good enough." And we just went on in. No, you don't. You made it just fine. They'll make it just fine. And by the way, I think we ruin the journey when we start talking about things we shouldn't talk about.
Right.
Now, understand that we have a responsibility to this little man. He knows nothing. But I also have a responsibility to everybody that has just gotten saved.
Amen.
And coming back to the Lord. You know what my responsibility to them are? Here it is. Not to remind them of what they're trying to come out of.
Amen. Yeah.
Do you know how it's hard for older people that get saved to come to church? Because the same junk they're trying to come out of in the world, Christians are doing on Friday night.
That's right.
The junk that they're trying to get their life out of, people are doing inside the church house. And we become a stumbling block to them. And God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, you better take heed that you don't become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, this is an interesting story. You'll like this story. Was centered around this. In the city of Corinth, bad city, a very wicked and immoral city. It could be likened to San Francisco. It could be likened to just any wicked city that you can think of. What they had was a high hill.
on this hill was a temple. Inside this temple, they would throw a party. Just like we have a church here and we sing about God, on this temple, on this hill, they would throw a party to their gods. And I mean, the gods were enormous. The gods were multiple. But in their party, and by the way, let me tell you something. Whenever you have a party celebrating the gods of this world, there's always bad music. There's always bad drink. And when you combine the bad music with the bad drink, you start taking your clothes off. And when you start taking your clothes off, you start acting bad. So it's a very immoral place. Well, they were doing what they should be doing. They were winning people to the Lord right and left. And guess what happened? People were getting saved out of that temple. People were getting saved out of that type of party lifestyle. They were getting saved. But what was happening was those who had been saved for a while, when the party was over, they would open up the temple doors during the day and all the leftover meat, you could go eat. In fact, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 10. Boy, I hope I'm making sense. I'm about to get convicted myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 10. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat and where? The idol's temple. Shall not the conscience of him which is weak be what? Emboldened to eat those things which are what? Offered to idols. Now notice the difference in the two. The first guy that's saved and boy, he knows that he can't go to hell. Look what it says here. He's just eating the meat. To this guy that's just starting to come out of this, he looks at the Christians going back into the honky-tonk and going back into the dance hall and going back into wherever they just got saved out of, and they're like, what's going on? And the Bible says that they'll be emboldened. Well, if they can do that, I'm going to go back into the world. Look at verse number 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Verse 12. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against who? Christ. So are you your brother's keeper? Look at me. The answer is yes. And it's about time every one of us, myself included, start upping our Christian life. To where we don't say anything, we don't do anything that educates him about the world and reminds him of what he's trying to get away from. Let me give you several things on how to avoid being a stumbling block. If you're taking notes, that's fine. If you're not, buy the CD, the tape, the 8-track, the reel-to-reel, whatever they give away here, all right? Number one, walk with the Lord. You say, Brother Bob, how do I get to a point where my life is not a stumbling block? You walk with the Lord. And let me tell you what the Lord's going to do. You're not going to be able to figure it all out, but the Lord will figure it out for you. And the Lord will start telling you, hey, you shouldn't listen to that, and hey, you shouldn't do that, and hey, what about this? The other day, I had a CD. Somebody sent me a CD, and I put it in the player in my Buick, and I was listening to it, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, you know, that's not that kind of music won't do. And boy, I shut that thing off. Jordan got in the car, and I said, hey, Jordan, I want you to listen to this. I'm just going to turn it on. Tell me what your first reaction is. I turned it on, and he looked at me and said, Dad, we don't listen to that kind of music. Guess what? The Holy Spirit was right, wasn't he? Now, you don't have to go, well, you know, I just got to clean up everything to where everything pleases everybody. Uh-uh. You walk with the Lord. You can't read that Bible right there, and you can't pray without the Holy Spirit reminding you of something you shouldn't be having. And I think every year, New Year's Day resolution ought to be, we're going through all our DVDs, we're going through all our CDs, we're going through everything we watch, and bless God, we're going to clean it up. Why? Because we don't want to offend Him, and we don't want to remind Him. Walk with the Lord. He'll take care of it all. I'm afraid we're not reading the Bible. We're not on our knees praying and saying, God, make me a holy vessel. God, make me better today than what I was yesterday. God, don't let my life be a stumbling block to the young, and don't let it be a stumbling block to the weak. If a new convert came to the average house, we would need an hour to put it all away. Could a new convert just drop into your house while you're watching TV? I want you to think about it. And I think it's a valid question. Because sometimes we think, well, we got two worlds, one out here and one in here. We got to stop that or we're going to hurt some people. Let me tell you something. These guys coming out of the world, they've got problems. And they've got things they're dealing with, and they're looking for somebody that's real because this world's fake. And when this world's done using people, it throws them away, and it does not care. Amen. And they come to the church house to find real, honest to goodness Christians. Now, I can understand if you've only been going to church for a short while, but when you're a charter member and you've not changed your lifestyle to match the Word of God, then look at me, that's pretty sad. And I'm not even mad. That's pretty sad. And tonight we got to up our Christian living. Number one, walk with the Lord. Number two, be aware of the little ones around you. Be aware of the little ones around you. Boy, you be aware. You start keeping that third eye. Well, I learned a long time ago as a preacher, I cannot afford to be unaware of who is around me. And that's why I don't care what I say, what I'm doing, where I'm going. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, I am constantly aware of all the little people around me and that they've got ears and they are absorbing everything I say. That's why I never tell a joke that's a little bit off color, and I never say anything that's a little bit shady, and I never say, and it pains me to say this, but I never use the gray areas of life. It pains me. And why? Because I don't want him thinking that it's okay. Amen. Because whatever I do in jest, yes, he is going to do for real.
That's right.
I want to tell you right now, be aware of the little ones. Number three, never talk about your past sins and failures. Let's just stop it. You say, well, I don't want to be a stumbling block. Then let's stop it. Let's stop talking about our past sins and failures. Let me tell you something. When you got saved, it was put under the blood.
Amen.
And when you confessed it, it was put underneath your blood. Now stop talking about those nights you got drunk. I'm not saying, well, Brother Dave, he told me just today about those nights. But stop talking about that kind of stuff, because here's why. For every one of us that made it out alive, there are dozens of our friends who never made it out.
You are right.
For every one of us that went into the world and thought we could smart enough to fool with it, and we almost got hit by a train, or maybe we got hit by a train, but it's only by God's mercy that we are who we are right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you really get down to it, it's only by God's mercy that we're sitting in church on a Thursday night. But we don't want our young people to look at it and go, what, Dad used to do dope and drugs? Well, look, you're a fine man right now. Well, I guess I can take a diversion over here and do this and come back. Let me tell you something. Boy, hundreds have tried it and never come back from it. And we don't want our young people going there. We don't want our young people even thinking, well, you say, well, I've already opened my mouth. Stop right now. Start talking about the goodness of God. Start talking about how good God's been in your life. And by the way, you don't want to identify with his past to the point to where when you backslide, you take him with you.
Right.
Let's just stop it. You know God's been good to you. I promise you, if you could put somebody else's name on it, your life story would be a bestseller. I promise you, if you could just, nobody would know who you were and we could change your name, some of you got some hair-raising experiences that absolutely people would look at you and go, you did what? You're kidding me. Let me tell you something. I do, and you do. And some of you need to straighten up your halos because you're looking at me like, well, I never. Let me tell you something, honey. Yeah, you have too.
That's right.
So we all are nothing but a bunch of sinners in this room.
Amen.
But I think we have a chance to make an impact on the people around us. And I think it's only fair that we as Christians understand, stop talking about that past. You didn't even like yourself back then. Stop talking about it. All right, so I said number one, and I'm headed somewhere. Listen to me, walk with the Lord. Somebody asked this guy one time when he was chiseling this granite piece of rock, and they asked him, said, well, what are you making? He said, I'm making a statue of Abraham Lincoln. And they said, how do you know when to quit? He said, I just keep knocking off everything that doesn't look like Abe. And you know what? The only thing you got to start chiseling out everything in your life that doesn't look like Christ. Christ wouldn't watch that, and Christ wouldn't say that, and Christ wouldn't do that, and Christ wouldn't be a Buckeye fan, and Christ... Okay, so start knocking off everything. All right, so number one, walk with the Lord. Number two, beware of the little ones around you. Number three, never talk about your past sins and failure. Number four, understand it is the atmosphere that will hurt the weak. It is the atmosphere that will hurt the weak. That's why you keep Bethel Baptist Church and you keep your church where Brother Pastor Miller is, you keep it something when people walk through that back door, it doesn't remind them of a honky-tonk, it doesn't remind them of a bar, the ladies don't remind them of somebody they've met out there, and the men don't remind them of somebody they met out there. You keep this a place of an atmosphere that is constantly telling the weak we are different than what you're ever going to find out there. We are completely different than what you're ever going to find out there. The other day we had a guy walk in off the street, and literally off the street, and he had just blown 10 grand at the boats in Shreveport. He had hitched a ride with somebody, dropped him off, and he come walking in, and he had no belt, he had no shoes, and I was like, sir, can I help you? And he was like, somebody needs to help me. I said, what are your shoes? He said, well, they were like a $500 pair of shoes, and I lost at the table, and somebody gave me $100 for them so I could keep gambling. He sat through the entire service and wept like a baby. Here's what he said. This is nothing like that casino. I said, all the bright lights and all the food and all of that and all the glamour. He said, let me tell you something. When they take everything you have, they usher you out the back door. Because you're a bad advertisement of people who lose. And let me tell you something, the atmosphere. That's why your car ought to be an atmosphere that's glorifying to God. That's why your home ought to be an atmosphere that's glorifying to God. That's why your conversation ought to be an atmosphere. Why? Any new convert, anybody trying to come back to the Lord, ought to be somebody that comes back and says, well, this is what I'm looking for. This is anti-whatever's out there. Atmosphere. Number five, start investing. Start investing in people around you. Start investing in people around you. You can't live in a room full of mirrors anymore. I told you, when you leave here, you're going to either have to accept what I'm telling you or reject what the Bible says. No, you got to start investing in people. Man, go out and find somebody. Say, hey, come to church with me. Hey, you just come to church with me. Come on. I want you to come see where I go every weekend. And stop bowing your head when you go back to the job and they say, well, what'd you do this weekend? And stop making up these stories. Because you know you're a church boy.
Yeah.
Come on now. You tell me, oh yeah, we went down. No, you didn't. You came to Sunday school at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Amen.
And you're back there at the job saying, oh yeah, we had a hot time on the town Sunday morning. Man, Sunday morning I was. No, you weren't. You had your Bible and you were in church like a good old Sunday school boy. Now, bless God, start investing in somebody else.
Amen.
I promise. I showed the job of one of our deacons the other day. And I was like, hey, is brother so-and-so here? And he said, well, so-and-so's here, but I don't think he's a brother because he's white. And I was like, well, no, he's a brother. He said, sir, you're white. And I said, no, not a brother. He is a brother in Christ. And he goes, oh, really? And I was like, are you serious? He said, he really is a brother, like praise Jesus brother? And I was like, yeah, like a praise Jesus brother. And he goes, oh, well, he's back there. He come walking out because I had to return something to him. And I said, hey, man, what's going on? These guys don't even know that. They're shocked that you're a Christian. He goes, well, I've not been quite as vocal about Christ as I need to be. I said, you think? Now understand, look at me, start investing in other people. The last thing's this, and I think this is important you have a seat because I don't like you, all right? Number six. Number six, listen to me. Here's where you want to get to. It is impossible. Offenses will happen. Listen very closely. Woe unto him who through it happens. If you're the hand that pushes, then you can't be the hand that helps.
Yeah.
Stay down. If you're the hand that pushes, where's your mother at? Oh, wow. I didn't know I was picking on Mighty Jamie's kid. I can lift tall buildings. I can leap tall buildings in a single bound. I'm faster than a locomotive. Hey, and her being faster than a locomotive is just her mouth. And so. Hey, you know that night of all nights? I'm in trouble, amen? That's okay. She'll need her Geritol to keep up, so. But understand, listen, that was funny, wasn't it? I'm going to have to write. Anyway, so what you want to do is you want to live your life in such a way that when somebody does stumble and they do fall, that you can come along and go, hey man, it'll be okay. Let me help you. It'll be okay. We're all human. We all make mistakes. Can I ask you a very personal question? Are you living your life in such a way that when your children fall, that you can come along and go, come on, man, let's get back up. Come on, it's okay. Because let me show you what most children do when I deal with teenagers. Here's the anger. Is that they stumble and fall, and then when dad goes, stay down, don't get up. When dad goes, man, get up, come on now. I want you to point your finger at me. Just point your finger at me. The anger. And I've seen 100 times in young people, the anger. How dare you tell me? What? You're no better than I am. And I'm going to tell you right now, all of us are human. But I believe this, when you walk with the Lord and you honestly live your life and try to live it in such a way that it is Christ-honoring, then I believe when people do fall, that you could be their salvation.
Amen.
Because everybody needs somebody at some time to come along and go, hey, Doc, it's okay. Get on up. That's my passion. I'm going to be honest with you. I love fishing. I hate hunting. I love fishing. But I tell you something I love even more than that is to be able to go to somebody that's having a tough time and just go, I'm for you.
Yep.
You can make it.
Yeah.
And I mean this. I'm going to talk about more tomorrow night. Y'all plug your ears. But it doesn't matter what somebody has done. The grace of God is bigger than anything you and I have done. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, yeah, you are. Are you wives responsible for your husband? You better believe it. Are you husbands responsible? You better believe it. Are you older teenagers responsible? You better believe it. You better believe it. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have to do it all the time. I always take inventory of what I watch on TV. I always take inventory of what the DVD collection I have. I always take inventory of the music I listen to. I always take inventory of the clothes I wear. I'm always taking inventory of where I go to eat and where I go to for amusements and ball games. I'm always taking inventory. You want to know why? Because I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt the young. Now listen to me. You say, Brother Bob, you think anybody can get to the point where they never hurt anybody? No. No. Face it, we've all offended somebody. But hopefully we learn and we grow. I know this has not been one of those bombastic services, but I'm going to tell you right now, and listen to what I'm about to tell you. I think the Holy Spirit of God wants each of us to go back and take a good look at our life. And you know, it wouldn't hurt. It would not hurt for some of you dads to go to your wives and go, look, I need to apologize. It wouldn't hurt for some of you wives to go to some of your husbands and say, look, I need to apologize. It wouldn't hurt for some of you parents to go to your children and say, look, your dad needs to apologize to you. You say, oh, that's a sign of weakness. That's a sign of strength.
Amen.
And I think tonight, this church and the church y'all come from, I'm telling you, I have seen it just work. And I've seen where young men, and by the way, we need church full of men. And that's one thing I'm thankful about this church. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of men in this room. If a fight broke out, the women wouldn't have to do nothing. In the average Baptist church, the women are all there by themselves. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's why I think, but you know how you keep it going? That's where men step up to the plate and go, you know, I am not my own. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go to work cleaning up my life. Why? For the sake of letting somebody else run you? No. For the sake of being a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah.
What's your life like? I know right now while I've been preaching, my mind has been doing this, running through everything I have done. And I hate sermons like this. You want to know why? Because it's like everything's being pointed right back at me. Because I know my life, you know your life, and we're not here sitting criticism or judgment on anybody else's life. I'm going to tell you right now, this Bible is very clear that if you've offended a little one, it'd be better for you to drown in a lake.
Yep.
And if you offend the weak, you've sinned against Christ. How many love the Lord? Raise your hand. How many can you put your hand down? How many can honestly say, Brother Bob, I love my children? Would you raise your hand? I love my children. Very good. How many put your hand down and say, Brother Bob, I love the people I interact with? Could you raise your hand? I love them. All right, look at me. Then you just go home and take a search in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Lord, you've been so kind to us, and the dear people have just been kind as to listen. Lord, I'm not really sure why you laid this particular sermon on my heart. But Lord, as I was praying and wanted to seek your face about what was needed tonight, Lord, I think this is what was needed. With eyes closed and our head bowed, could I ask you a question? How many would say tonight, Brother Bob, you know, I am going to take inventory of my life. Would you raise your hand and say, Brother Bob, that's me. I'm going to take inventory of my life. God bless you. God bless you, dear saints. God bless you. Put your hands down. How many say, Brother Bob, while you were preaching, the Holy Spirit reminded me of something, whether I said it or didn't say it, but the Holy Spirit reminded me and convicted me in my heart of some things I need to take care of or I need to change. I'm not looking. My head's bowed. My eyes are closed. But how many would raise your hand toward heaven? Just slip it up. Put it right back down. My hand's raised. Just put it right back down. Lift it toward heaven. Just let the Lord know that. God bless you. May put your hands down. Let's all stand if we could. And as the pianist plays and the organ plays, why don't you come on? If you need to do business with God, you just come on. You coming to the altar does not make you better than anybody else. But what it does is just acknowledges the fact the Lord spoke to your heart. You know, I'll be honest with you. I got over a long time ago trying to get everybody to come. And I believe this. I believe an altar is a good thing. It's a good place to start. It's a great place to start. If you're standing there, just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed, and we'll be done in a matter of moments. Just take inventory of your life. Maybe you're there in the pew and just bow your head and ask the Lord to help you. Am I my brother's keeper? The answer is yes. Do I have a responsibility? The answer is yes.